I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Good morning.
I hope this works. I don't know why my internet's fucked up today. Oh, sorry. Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night. My internet's fucked up.
Well, I hope. Yeah, you're freezing. Like you're. It's weird. Like I know you're in a fake background. Yo, it's nice, Sife, that the fake apartment you're staying in has a monster logo hanging in the apartment. Yeah,
it came with a monster logo, right?
That
here.
Is so nice. Wow. How do they know you? Yeah. That's a really responsible Airbnb.
It's on my rider. It's on my rider.
Oh, where are you now, Sife?
I'm in Wichita, Canton. I'm home.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
All right, how does it feel to be out of Texas?
What do you mean? I'm always out of Texas.
Are you?
You just happen to catch me when I'm in Texas.
Are you done with Texas for a while?
I got Houston on the 29th. Hey, everybody, come to the Riot Comedy Show May 29th. It's a Saturday. Bun B and Paul Wall are definitely going to be there.
Oh, that's dope.
No, I'm lying. They might come.
They might come. I'm currently in Miami, and I'm so I'm so excited to tell you where I'm staying, Sife.
Uh-huh.
I am staying at the Good Time Hotel. Do you know what that is?
I don't.
That is the new hotel owned by Pharrell Williams and Dave Grutman.
Who's Dave Grutman?
I think he owns like all of Miami. He's the guy who owns clubs and everything he has ever done has been gold.
He has a hotel with
Correct.
Oh, interesting.
But ask the question.
No.
The question is why, Rosenberg? Why?
Oh yeah, why are you staying?
Why? First of all, I'm anti boutique hotel.
No, I didn't know that.
I'm anti boutique
really?
Hotel.
I love a boutique hotel.
Nope. Give me a Marriott. Give me a JW. My boy J Dub. Give me a J.
Oh, you do high. You like a mid to high end chain.
Correct.
Hotel.
I want a JW Marriott. I want a Hyatt Regency.
Why are you against boutique hotels?
The rooms are small. They're overpriced. the service generally, I'm not talking about the Good Time Hotel, it's been lovely so far, but like in general, the service, they feel like you're lucky to be there. And I feel like, okay, I think I figured it out though yesterday. So I got here yesterday. I'm doing drink champs today, Saif.
Correct.
And then I,
congrats.
Thank you. And
I don't know why I said correct. I meant to say,
well,
congrats.
Both are nice. I appreciate it. And then I'm going right to Tampa tonight for WWE tomorrow. So I was going to be here for like a minute and I was like, oh yeah, Pharrell opened that spot. Let me holler at my guy, a mutual guy, mm-hmm. of both of us. And let me see if he can, you know, connect me and get me a little pluggy plug.
Right.
So I got a nice little discount plug and was like, if I'm going to spend one night, let me go check out the scene. And oh, it's a scene. All right. And the second I got here, I was like, why am I checking out a scene? What? When do I like a scene? What am I doing?
Yeah, why are you doing this? As soon as you said it, my brain was like, why? He doesn't like the scene. Why would he go to the scene?
Last night I went to the dinner here, which is called Strawberry Moon. The restaurant, I'm sorry, is called Strawberry Moon. Uh-huh. Delicious.
And you're solo?
Sipe, table by myself.
You don't have no peoples down there in Miami?
I do. I got my boy Nori. I'm seeing him later today. I hit up Khaled the other day and I was going to see if I could go play Khaled my record. And then Khaled hit me back. He was like, yo, I might go to an island this weekend. I don't know. Let me know and check in. And then last night came, I went to dinner and I was like, I don't feel like bothering Khaled. I don't even know how far he lives from South Beach. I'm going to just go. Let me just go make a reservation and eat my meal. And by the way, I'm completely beat because my travel was blood clot fuckery.
Yeah, really?
Fuckery, Saif. Yo, have you ever taken a flight where the flight you're on, you booked it through one airline, but it's being run by another airline?
Of course. You're talking about United Airlines doing, no, Republic Airlines doing business as United.
Sure. So JetBlue just started doing this with American. Yo, Saif.
Oh, they must have.
Yeah, let me tell you about this team. Y'all need to get on the same fucking page. Because it's like you try to go check into one place. They're like, nah, you can't check in here, fam. Go check in with our guys. You go to them. You're like, yo, I want to change my seat. They're like, nah. You got to go back to your guy. It's a fucking disaster. Make a long story short, checking in, and I'm a whiz when it comes to doing the bullshit on the computer. It's not like I'm not my dad. Like, I know how to do this. It was terrible checking in. I finally do it. I go to bed. The car service that I got to take me to the airport calls me at 6 a.m. and they're like, yo, your driver's here, but I just want you to know your flight's been delayed 4 hours.
The driver knew that.
The driver service knew that. Do you think I got a text or email from either of the airlines?
No.
And really? then I want to change my flight now. Who do I do it with? Another ticket. It was fuckery to make. So by last night I was done. The K show ended. I had to do the show sitting on this fucking bench that I'm on because, you know, this room doesn't have a chair in it.
You know, model bitches don't like chairs.
Yo,
what's wrong with you?
I'm gonna tell you right now, if you come down to this place, you're gonna have a good time. You're gonna see the hottest chicks you've ever seen in your life. You're gonna have a delicious meal today at the pool Steve Aoki's playing. And if you want to find a chair in your room, good fucking luck.
No. Listen, here's how hot Romanian models do it. Just one girl just yogas herself into a chair, and then the other girl sits on her to do the
makeup.
And
that's all you.
And then they
switch.
And
there's probably five of them in the room next door because that's the vibe. So yeah. So last night I said, fuck it, I'm gonna just go. I got a reservation for one. Got myself a delicious Mediterranean meal, and I ran into a guy. This dude, my boy Corey Shapiro, who owns a company called Vintage Frames. I feel like you. I was going to say, I feel like you have to have met this guy.
He's a Montreal guy?
That's right, a Jew from Montreal.
Yes. I like that guy. Yo. I've had some fun times with him.
Bruh, He's a great guy. I mean,
yeah, I had some good times with him. He booked me a party once with me and A-Track.
Bro,
I had fun with him.
Do you remember what happened the first time I met him? The first time I met him at one of those Vegas clothing shows, I met him. He asked for my address. A week later, I get a package from Montreal. This dude sent me the Bret Hart sunglasses from the Montreal Screwjob. I know that means nothing to you, but
nothing.
What I'm explaining to you is he sent me a priceless gift.
Wait, it's the actual sunglasses?
Every time Bret Hart had a match, he would take off his glasses and give them to a kid. This is the most famous match of Bret Hart's career. They're the glasses he gave to the kid.
And the kid sold them somehow down the line somewhere.
And the thing is, he doesn't even really know how he came into them. But if you know Corey Shapiro, and you know that he's literally the sunglasses king of Montreal, you know the shit's legit. It has the ticket stub and the glasses.
That's dope.
Anyways.
And he said that to you as a gift.
No reason.
Wow.
Last night, I run into him. He sits down. We have a drink at my table. He gets up. He's like, I got to go meet someone for dinner, blah, blah, blah. A few minutes later, the waiter comes up to me and is like, Mr. Shapiro's paying for your meal.
Wow.
Yo, Syph, what would it be like to be that classy?
I am that classy.
Right.
I just don't have the funds the way I want.
But when does one have those funds? Like, when do you know that you have enough that you can do something like that?
I don't know when you know.
Because Michael K said recently, I don't know if you saw this, Shaquille O'Neal walked into a fucking...
Why would I see this?
Shaquille O'Neal walks into a jewelry store.
Is this sports related? Yeah,
but it was big on social. I don't know. Shaquille O'Neal walks into a jewelry store. He sees a guy buying an engagement ring. He goes up to the guy. He goes, yo, the guy was kind of like dealing with them, trying to figure out how to pay. Shaq just walks up. He's like, my guy, your engagement ring's on me. Don't worry about it. That guy's on me. Wow.
I would love that.
We tell that story on the air, and Michael K is like, I would love to do something like that. I was like, then do it. Like, you're not as rich as Shaq. Maybe it wouldn't be an engagement ring, but you could do it somewhere else. Like, what we say we love the idea of doing it. Now, by the way, you and I, we could do it at a McDonald's, at a Starbucks. We could be like, yo, this guy's meal is all good. We could do that.
I've done that.
You did do that. I recently was at a CVS and I saw the guy at the CVS having a hard time. He's trying to pay. He's holding up his phone. He doesn't speak English. The woman's like, sir, it's not working. It's a disaster. He walks away. I go, ma'am, what's his total? What's that guy's total? She's like, it's $36. I was like, $36. I thought it was going to be like $5. I mean, 30. We're at CVS. What's he buying?
CVS. The CVS is add up a little bit, man.
So I thought about it for a second and I was like, you know what? Let me just take care of the guy. She was like, no. He's like a DoorDash guy. I was like, oh, fuck it. Don't worry about them.
Why? Because he's a DoorDash guy.
No, because I wouldn't have been helping him out. I would have been helping out the random asshole who sent him to the CVS to buy shit.
Oh, no.
I'm not paying for that guy's shit.
Yeah. You don't know who it is.
I wanted to help this guy. I like him. So I just, I don't know when you figure
but
it out.
But yeah, I want to be at that level, man. I would love to be at that level.
That would be nice.
I was at the Comedy Cellar one day. This is like, in the pandemic when the world was shut down and we were doing all these weird ass shows, and Louis C.K. came by.
Okay.
And there was some comics outside, like some open mic type comics that were doing weird shows in Washington Square Park or whatever. And, you know, they saw Louis and they like hey, we're sorry to bother you. Could we, you know, could we just ask one question? Da, da, da. And I watched the whole thing because I was on the other side of the little outdoor patio, whatever. Patio. That's what we call it now. The sidewalk is called the restaurant patio now. I was on the sidewalk of the Comedy Cellar, and I saw him, like, they were, like, asking for advice, and he was giving advice, and it was three of them. And he goes, hey, just so you know, one of you's not going to make it. One of you's not going to make it, but are you still going to be friends? Probably not. And they're laughing, but then he was like, I don't know, I think you're not going to make it. And, you know, they're fucking around. And then he comes over, and he tells the waitress, hey, cover, you know, cover their meal. I got it. And he left, and then the waitress told him, and you could see the joy in their face. Like, they got to ask him comedy advice, and he paid for their meal. And I was just like, I like that, man. I like that. I want to be like
In
that.
Other words, what you're saying about Louis C.K. is he may have terrible accusations about him that exist, but he's a great guy.
He's a pretty cool dude.
Have you gotten to know him at all?
Yeah, I went on tour with him right before the pandemic.
And so you feel like you have a rapport with him?
I do, yeah. He's around now. He's at the clubs all the time now. So, yeah, I have a great rapport with him. He doesn't like me as a comedian. Oh, no.
What do you mean? No.
Oh, he doesn't find me funny at all.
What did he tell you?
No, his face told me. he you know when he finds somebody funny.
Really? How does it make you feel?
Yeah. Oh, horrible. Like shit.
Huh.
Disgusting. It's like a failure. Like an absolute failure.
Why don't you ask him? Why don't you ask him why he doesn't, what you think is bad? Like, what if you were to go to him and just be like, yo.
I know what it is. I know.
Go ahead, tell
is.
Us. Let's get into this right now.
I know what it is. He's My shit is vibe. My shit is like, I have good jokes, but I'm likable. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hit that stage, especially if I'm hosting, I get the room. I get the vibe. You know, people like me. And he likes joke writers. You know what I'm saying? Like, hardcore joke writers. And, like, damn near, like, offensive joke.
Yeah, he wants to push.
Yeah, he likes people that push. Like, I was on tour with me, him, and this girl named Adrian Appalucci. She says foul shit, and he's in the wings cracking up. And then I go on stage and I ask her, "Hey, how did Louis, you know, like my set?" And she goes, "Oh, he left." No, he left. He went back to his green room. But he's super cool, man. He's super cool. No, you know what? He's not super cool. Well, it's a different kind of cool. He's not Dave Chappelle cool, but he's fucking smart, man. Like, I love talking to him about any subject. He drops. He's a smart
guy.
Well,
yeah, man. I mean, listen, people could say whatever they want about Louis C.K. I understand.
Bro, I was having this talk. This is not where I thought the podcast was going today, but I was having this talk the other day.
Wait, when did the podcast ever go the way you thought it was going to go today?
In 2006.
Okay, all right, cool. We didn't even do it yet, but keep going.
I was talking to this kid, Nathan McIntosh, and he's a very funny comedian. And we were talking about R. Kelly. And we were talking about, like, R. Kelly as an example, but people like that, where they're called monsters, they're demonized, they're treated like shit, which rightfully so, the things they did are horrible. But no one seems to take the extra step and realize he was molested or treated or sexually
abused. Yeah.
Not abused.
He was though. I mean, he was molested. Yeah.
And people don't realize how that affects people. I'm not saying he shouldn't be punished. I'm not saying he's not wrong. I'm not saying I think it's horrible what he did, but also I can look past it sometimes and see the humanity.
And you know what? Fuck you for looking past it and seeing the humanity. You're canceled too, you fuck.
And I just think people that just, you know, get so cancel culture-y have some shit inside them that they also probably need to deal with.
Scythe, the R. Kelly one, it hits me too, because I'm always like, so he's terrible. He needs to be punished for the things he's done. He also needs a lot of help.
A lot.
But how can you simultaneously have all this empathy for the people that he has done this to and have no empathy for him? Like, you have to at least, even if you are angry at him, you have to at least, he's a victim also. So while he needs to be punished and he needs to be rehabilitated in any way he can, he still deserves empathy.
Punishment with therapy. You know what I mean? Like, that should be part of the punishment. And the thing is, he's poor, homeless, molested, sexually abused, taken advantage of, illiterate, but so talented. So the talent gets you money and success. Then there's people around you who want some of that money and just let you do whatever. It's like it's a fucking spiral, bro. It's a spiral, and it's really sad, and I feel bad for people like that. And I know it sounds weird, like, but all those people had problems too.
I don't think it sounds weird. I completely get it.
Rosenberg, I had the privilege of seeing Scythe and Will Sylvans rap rock him to a crowd, and no one knew what they were doing.
I'm a fucking asshole, man. I met Billy June's girl. Why are we just talking about this now?
I have to go in 5 minutes, unless what?
I love her. She's it. She's it. Maybe put this in the beginning of the episode, Billy. She's it. I walked up to her. She's with Billy June. They came to my comedy show. I walk up to her. She goes, "What's up, SA?" And I was like, "I love this girl."
No.
I fucking love. "What's up, SA?" I was like, "Yo, you're it. You're
Billy,
it.
You Billy, lock it the fuck." Actually, you know what, Billy?
Lock it down.
No, but Billy, we can't tell him that because he's probably acting somewhat cool. We don't want him to get like, doing. Keep doing it.
She was a sweetheart. She's super cool.
Can I ask you a question?
She started the entire interaction with a joke, with a jab. "What's up, SA?" I was like, "Yeah."
She listened to it twice.
Can I ask you a question, an important question, though, Sai?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Did you fuck her?
Who?
Billie Jean's girlfriend.
No.
Okay, good.
No,
just,
I don't do that.
I just wanted to bring back a "did you fuck her" at the most inappropriate of times. That's awesome, man. Billie Jean, did she report anything about meeting Scythe?
She said he was very nice and he was very funny. Show was
wow, great. Billie Jean.
"What's up, SA?"
That's awesome. Yeah. Wow, that is a quality. That sounds like a quality person.
She told me that as a joke. She was like, "Oh, I think I'm a. I should I say that as a joke?" And I was like, "You're funny." And I think she was actually going to do it.
Always go with the joke.
I wanted to say, we want to get into some music stuff today.
I got some music stuff.
Okay, so I'm excited to get to some music stuff. I do want to say, though, today, Scythe, is the 10-year anniversary since 10-year anniversary of Alexa's brother, Spencer, dying, which for anyone who's followed us from the beginning,
that's
you guys understand.
What is that? 2011?
May 15th, 2011. So for any of you who followed along from the beginning, you kind of already know what that means. If you're somehow a new listener, my ex-wife's brother was killed in a drunk driving accident on May 15th, 2011, with two other kids, Haley and Johnny. And it was the most horrible, impactful thing that's ever happened to, of course, Alexa's family, but to me also. You know, I'd lived a chart. That was the day for me that it all changed. that life. Yeah. I was like, oh.
You think you became an adult that day?
Oh, I became an adult. Yes. The day that you realized.
You know what
yes.
I mean? Like you can actually pinpoint the day where things changed. And it went over to the other side.
I thought about this the other day. Anyone who has not had the experience, the experience, and you know it, if anyone listening who's had this, unfortunately, I'm sorry to trigger your feelings because now you're thinking about what the one was for you. But the ones who haven't, you know, where you're 35 and you lost your grandparents and it was sad, but you've never had that moment. I just want to say anything you can do, and it's because you can't see it till it happens to you. It's such a blessing. My parents lived my parents' entire life. Yo, my parents, Spencer was the closest they ever got to it. And at the time they were in their mid 60s.
Right.
Like they lived a charmed life, you know, and it was the moment that the reality of how hard life can be happened. And, you know, the divorce was number two, and it's not the same thing. I'm not comparing. Actually, that was something that people used to come up to me all the time, Saif, during the divorce. One day I need to do a something about the entire divorce, but one thing people said,
you talking about the episode you can't afford to miss?
That might have to be a two.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, that would be a two-parter, a minimum two-parter. But people would come up and they'd go, it's so hard. It's like a death. And while I was in the midst of the worst moments of it, I just wanted to be like, have you ever been through a tragic death? Because this is awful. Awful, indescribably bad, but it's not. It's not like a death. You know why?
I don't think I've had it. I don't think I've had it. Wait, why? Why is it not like a death?
Because I can call Alexa right now, and she might curse me out when she answers. I'm talking about that time, but she will answer. And while it is awful, and I will say it is definitely they are the two traumatic events of my life. It's not the same. It's when someone is gone from you instantaneously, or gone entirely too young, it knocks you on your ass in a way. It makes you question everything, you know, forever. And then, yeah, to your point, I got thrusted into needing to care for this human being in a way that I wasn't equipped to do. I'd like to think, that Alexa feels that I somehow managed to do it, but it's the moment that you become an adult. It was just like it changes everything. And so I don't want to dwell on this sad subject that long. I want to hear what I want to hear what you were gonna say.
You know, it's funny. It's not funny, but I met Spencer once, maybe twice, right?
Did you meet Spencer?
Who's the other one?
You met Connor a couple times.
I know. Did I meet Spencer?
He only came to New York, I think, one time.
Maybe I did.
Now you may feel like you met him because of the famed story on 1F.
Well, here's the thing about Spencer. You always talk about how he liked cheap sunglasses.
Yeah, yeah.
He always wore colorful cheap sunglasses. And this is so weird because maybe I didn't meet him, but even if I met him once, my son wears these cheap sunglasses. Like he loves sunglasses. If anytime there's a family function, he wears these cheap sunglasses. And I always think of Spencer when he wears them. And it's just a weird thing to think of, but he puts on these orange sunglasses and I'm like, oh, that's Rosenberg's brother-in-law.
That was shockingly touching to hear.
It's weird, right? But it's like, why does every single time he wears them, I'm like, oh, that's Spencer.
Well, that's awesome, and that's crazy. Why you know, that's honestly one of the reasons why it's so important that I continue to celebrate him. And obviously, you know, now I'm in a new relationship. It's sometimes hard. It's sometimes hard to convey in a new relationship the entire thing.
It's gotta be. It has to be.
And I was talking earlier, and I was talking to Natalie earlier, and I said, I was like, listen, I understand this is uncomfortable, and I care, you know, and she's super supportive, but I said, I still understand it's uncomfortable. I said, but this is not about my romantic life. This is about a kid who I loved. Like, I just loved this kid. And he got struck down at 18, and I promised as the person with the loudest voice in the world who loved him, I promised that I will always talk about Spencer Dad, and that he was a special kid. And like the story for those on One Ep who know, I don't even know if we could still put up, Billy, maybe we could find it and still post the episode and just edit the words that need to be edited. But the story I told about when I went to Maryland and hung with him and his friends, well, they hung with me. I brought them to I think it was a Mike Posner show at Maryland, and Spencer's friend got wasted, and a very funny phrase. Well, it's not funny anymore. It's a very inappropriate phrase. It has to do with the color of Sife's shirt and a word you can't say anymore, or you should never say. But it was Spencer was a young legend. Like, he was just that dude. Like, he was just such a cool dude. And he started rapping before he died. He was just messing around on his computer rapping.
Wait, did he put you on to Childish Gambino?
1,000%. So when Spencer died, he had been telling me all about Childish Gambino. And to me at the time, I'm like, I love you, Spence, but like, this is kid rap. You know, like, you're telling me about what the kid. He was like, no, I go to his comedy shows. Half of it's a comedy show. Then he raps the other half. He's the greatest, blah, blah, blah. So after Spencer dies, I hit up Questlove and I get Gambino's phone number. I call Childish Gambino blind.
Oh yeah.
Remember this?
Yeah.
Sometimes parts of my life are such a built-in part of my life that I don't realize they're a great story because I don't.
Yeah.
But it is a great story. I call Gambino blind in 2011. He answers his phone, and I'm like, I tell him that it's me and how I got his number. He's like, oh hey, and he's like, I'm actually at the Empire State Building with my family right now. I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, I'm showing people around, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, well, listen, I'm going to be real quick. I said, just so you know, at the time she was my fiance. I'm like, my fiance's brother, Spencer, was just killed in a car accident. He was 18 years old. I was like, he repped for you so hard. I was like, I just want you to.
His face when you.
Imagine he's out.
It's not funny. It's not funny, but it's one up funny where like his face must have scrunched up like, why are you telling me this, stranger?
I know. And this is why I always love Gambino, because it must have been like, what the? So he's like, I'm like, so basically what I'm telling you is I am going to rep for you. I got you. Whatever you need, you were Spencer's guy. I got you. And that was actually a time where me having someone meant something, and he wasn't big yet, and so that thus the relationship began. And then this is the bugged out part, Sife. So
that's dope.
From that moment on, the feeling I have about Gambino is that he's. And this is just in my brain, but it can't be undone.
My
brain.
Yeah, that's a neurological fucking pathway that's created in your own head. Some weird
shit. In my brain, he's Spencer's friend. So when I support Gambino, I'm supporting. And the crazy part is we went on to have countless memories with Gambino. Like he became he was around a lot for a while. And it was always through this person that he never knew in life.
Crazy,
and
crazy, crazy.
Then he went and he got on the record I did, the Who Dat remix with J. Cole, and Gambino sent us fucking, he dropped like a 48 on it in like an hour. And you know, we haven't been close the last few years since he's had his kids and shit. Gambino's gone into Gambino land. But I will always love that dude. Like he really took it. So he got it. He understood. And Spencer was just up on shit. Like he was just a kid who was up on fresh shit and actually had bars himself, like could actually rap.
Do you think Gambino would listen to Juan Epp, his life now, and be like, wow, these guys went super sappy. The fuck are we doing,
sorry,
man?
This is, you're right, Saif. This is
what happened to us.
I know. I cried. I cried during the episode.
This is. We can't say it, but you know what this is.
You can't say it. But Saif, hold on. But give us. It. You got to give us a little bit of a break. I'm recording it on the actual day of the 10-year anniversary. We get a pass.
Course,
we get a pass.
Man, I'm just saying.
But no. But
son, you know.
Oh wait, hold on. I had one last thing I wanted to say. Though. Keep going. I don't remember.
You sure?
Yeah, no. I was going to use it. I think I was just going to say, for anyone listening, I just want you to know Spencer was an amazing kid. I'm going to post some of his music on my social. Maybe we'll throw up his music on the Juan Epp Patreon. I'll put up his little like 9-song mixtape I kind of put together. All super rough shit. And I was going to use it to transition to Cole because he did Who Dat Part 2, and Cole jumped on Who Dat Part 2.
Wait, hold on. Before you get to Cole, because I definitely had to discuss. We're going to talk hip-hop in a second, guys. Stay with us. This is, since we're all in a metaphysical, esoteric dimension right now, I have a fear that, okay, so my dad died when I was 3 years old, and I don't have the same feeling that you're talking about because I was way too little. And a lot of people have died in my life since then, but not the way you're talking about. Like the way your parents kind of escaped through it. You know, a lot of people in the entertainment industry around us, a lot of people I was friends with, a lot of people that really hurt, like Patrice O'Neal really hurt, but I wasn't that close with them, like family. So my dad died when I was 3, and I don't have very many memories of him. There's like 3 or 4 cloudy memories that come in. One time he gave me a sip of a beer, which is crazy. One time he drove an ice cream truck and I was in the ice cream truck with him. There's one vision I have where I was laying in my bed and I remember there was these hooks above my bed and he like hugged me and gave me a kiss. And a couple other little things, but I don't have these a lot of memories.
Are you trying to? Now, you're trying to get me to cry a second time on the podcast.
No, I don't want you to cry. I don't want you to cry. My son is now 3 years old, and it's fucking hitting me. If I died, he wouldn't remember me. You know what I mean? Like he, because I know what it is to be 3 years old and lose your dad, but. And but he remembers me every day I come see him or when I, you know what I mean? Like he knows who I am now, but that doesn't last. That's fucking weird, man.
You alluded to this once before and it mind fucked me then. But now when you say it like that, the fact that all these everyday memories, that means you had everyday memories with your dad and you have none of them.
No idea. And the only difference now is that there's tons of pictures and videos where like my son could go on YouTube and see shit about me or hear all the Juan Epps. You know what I mean? But I have this weird fear. My dad died August 24th. And it's so weird, man. I'm so nervous because at first I was nervous for my son to turn 3, which is in April. And I was like, man, I feel weird that if my son turns 3, something might happen to me. And then I was like, oh, but I turned 3. I turned 3 in April. My dad died in August.
Now you got to make it past August.
So I was like, I got to get past. Yo, August, I'm not doing shit, yo. I'm not going out.
I'm definitely
not going on no boats.
This affected you more with your son than your daughter.
It hit me a little with the daughter, but then when I had a son, I was like, oh, this is it.
Well, once you had a son, you were like, once you had a son, you were like, now that I have a real child. That's a joke.
I'm the last Diaz. I'm the last Diaz in my family.
Right.
All my uncle had six girls. My father's brother had six girls. And then my father's sister had two boys, but they're not Diaz's.
Mm.
They're whoever their fucking fuckface father's name is. So I'm the last Diaz in my, and I was like, if I have two girls, it's my lineage just dies out. And then I had a boy, but then I was like, only one. I'm only having one. So you got this, kid. Hold this down, you non-Puerto Rican.
Yeah, you weird Filipino Rican son of a.
Oh, this fucking got dark. Now, okay, what's up, guys?
So like I said.
Hey, contribute to our Patreon.
So like I said, Spencer did a song with J. Cole. J. Cole dropped an album this week. Did you get a chance to listen yet?
Yes.
And?
This is where the episode starts. I need your help, Rosenberg.
Okay.
I can't get with J. Cole.
Wow.
I know it's, listen, I respect his talent. He can rap his ass off. More than that, I respect him as a man. Every time I've met him, he's a classy individual. He talks the right shit to the right people for the right reasons. He's incredible. His music doesn't hit me. And I feel bad about it, man.
So that is very interesting because
his music doesn't hit me. I listened to the album. Yo, he got a fucking, he redid the Pharrell Monch Styles P song.
My Life.
He redid My Life, and I was part of that record's creation when I worked at Rock.
Well, then answer this question. Who's Highway McDuffie?
Howie McDuffie.
Oh, is that his name?
Yeah.
Who's Howie McDuffie?
Howie McDuffie was a guy he worked at Rock.
Because he gets a shout out on the song, and I never knew. He goes, Howie McDuffie, Holiday Styles.
Yeah, Howie McDuffie.
I thought it was Highway.
Yeah. No, he put that shit together. He was... I don't know if he was an A&R, but he was just like the backbone of Raucous.
Okay.
He was like there's a famous story, real quick, there's a famous story of like, because Corey Smith, who used to be Talib Kweli's manager, and also, actually he was Mos Def's manager even before Kweli's manager, and he's also De La Soul's manager. He was telling this story of how like they were in a club and some goons were going to rob Kanye. And Kanye was young, but he had jewelry. He was still kind of unknown, but he was like making money as a producer. And they were gonna kind of rob him. And Howie McDuffie went and got that thing out the car, and like held him down. But Howie McDuffie didn't. He wasn't like a thug or a gangster. He was like kind of a large fella.
Is he a black gentleman or white?
Yeah, he's black.
I didn't know by the name Highway McDuffie.
You don't know Howie McDuffie? That's really weird.
I don't think I
still speak to him. I still speak to him. To
really?
This day.
Well, tell him I enjoy. I enjoy his shout out on My Life.
He was responsible for a lot of that Raucous shit.
So,
man.
So you're saying even though he sampled that song, he used that song, he interpolated it. You still don't. It just doesn't hit you in the gut.
I listened to the entire album. He raps his ass off. He says some ill shit. Beats are beats that I would like. I love when you take a typical Southern trap artist and put them over like hip hop beats. So he did that with 21 Savage on the album, and he also did it with Lil Baby. I love how Static Selector is working with 2 Chainz and they're doing an album. Like, and also remember 2 Chainz on De La Soul album.
Oh, love that verse.
I love when you, because you know these, you know these dudes are real rap fans, but they're just doing what is the in vogue right now, and they make all this trap shit. And I have nothing against trap. I love trap also, but like, you know, they were old school hip hop fans and want to rap on some rap shit. J. Cole does that well. 21 Savage sounds amazing on that song. But I don't know what it is, but the music doesn't hit me emotionally.
Listen, I felt that way about Cole for
I felt
that way for his through his first few albums. And
I feel bad.
And Cole. Then but then for some reason it started hitting me around Forest Hills Drive, 2014 Forest Hills Drive. And then the last one I really loved. And
I heard the last one.
I love the last one. But at the same time, if you're telling me you still feel it on this one, I don't know that you'll feel differently on the last one. And listen, the bottom line is sometimes there are artists that are dope that just don't hit you, a person, in the heart.
It's something sonically that it's like a taste thing. Like, I don't like Indian food.
Love
right?
it. Oh, I love Indian food.
I don't like Indian food, and I'm talking about when you say you don't like something, people try to then make you like it. I've been to – Dave Chappelle took me to the fucking 8-star Michelin Indian restaurant in London. It's the one of the best Indian restaurants in the world. It's like, and I was like, it's all right, it's good, it's good. It's all right.
I mean, I have to imagine that the best Indian food you could find in London would be the best Indian food you could fucking basically find outside of India on planet Earth.
And it's like the high end version. So like, and he's like, you don't like this? I was like, it's good. I probably won't come back here unless you're treating, you know what I mean? But it that's the same thing. Like, there's different taste buds, but also like sonically, there's different sonic taste
right.
buds.
No, you're right.
And J. Cole doesn't hit me.
Listen.
It annoys me.
I hear you.
Because I love the guy.
I've been there. First of all, you're missing out on, it's worse to me that you're missing out on chicken tikka masala. But J. Cole also, it happens, bro. But I will tell you guys, I think the Cole album is, it delivered. And listen, I don't know, Cole has not fucked with us at Hot 97. And by that I mean, me or since Ebro came along, Ebro has not fucked with us in any way in a decade. I mean, like I've run into him. He will not, no interviews have ever been booked.
Is it on purpose? Like he's not fucking with Hot?
He used to fuck with Angie. And then I think he might have saw her at Power too. And yeah,
that's what the Angie interview, which I told the same thing to Angie once, and she goes, go listen to the interview he did on my show. And I went and watched the whole thing, and I was like, I love this guy. And I've met him with Dave Chappelle. He's come to a couple shows, and I met him. I was like, I love this guy. I love his movement. I will always support him 100%. If he ever needed me to do anything, I would do it. But the music doesn't hit me. Ah, I feel terrible.
It happens. Listen, I'm glad I got there because for a long time, I said I loved Cole even when I didn't because of what you're saying. And then about four albums ago, I started really loving it. Part of me feels, this is a hunch.
Wait, do you identify as a young college black woman?
That's correct. I was in a sorority at I went to Spelman. Part of me thinks, Sife.
Yeah, Rosenberg pledged Delta.
I pledged Delta at Spelman. Sure I did. Part of me feels, you tell me what you think.
Yeah.
That even though I fuck with his manager, Ibrahim, I have Boz on, JID, everyone they've done, Dreamville, I fucked with. Cole has never come back around. Part of me thinks, and I could be completely wrong, that my support of Kendrick turned off a lot of people.
I could see that. In the rap game, which is all lovey-dovey, friendly, but in the real scope of things, it's fucking competitive, especially with people on that level.
Bro, you and I know.
You picked your guy.
And you and I know that other big artists have said shit to me about it. Big, I'm talking about the biggest, have been like, oh, why don't you go fuck with Kendrick then? Like, it's so weird. To me, I always looked at it as, God, it's like I'm doing my Drink Champs interview right now. Because this would be a good topic for them to bring up, frankly. Perfect. I really...
Make sure you bring it up, because they're going to be too drunk to remember.
I know. They're just about, tell us about Charlemagne.
Why would Nicki Minaj?
I like how he made them sound like hobos. I looked at it as, I love Kendrick. I know what he could do. I know what his potential could be. And to me, like, he has the total package. I'm going in as hard as I can. And then you factor in on top of that, this is honest. I have always been objective about music, as objective as I could be. I've never taken one red cent to play a record. I don't play the favor game. However, I'm a human being. And when people treat you with a certain level of respect and appreciation, it obviously impacts you. So, like, I'm sure Drake felt a way too. And at the same time, you know, Drake and I would have these run-ins. We'd be mad cool. And it would come time for him to do anything. He would never, after the beginning, when you and I talked to him at first, after that point, he would go see every other person around the world and would never fuck with me. So, while I'm not going to...
You're polarizing. You're very polarizing.
So I'm not going to shit on you, although I have with Drake at times with things I didn't like. Let me put it this way. What it means is this. Here's the difference. If you fuck with me and you treat me with respect and come on my platform and show me a little love, and then you have a misstep, right? You make a misstep.
Yep.
I am very likely to defend and explain said misstep. Because I know you. I fuck with you. You've always been straight with me. If you have never really done shit for me and the same misstep occurs, as a human being, you're probably not going to get the same level of benefit of the doubt. That's just fucking human psychology, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, like, when I shit on the God's Plan video, I thought it was stupid, so I shit on it. If Drake had fucked with me and been cool over the years, I probably would have just kept my mouth shut. That's if that is me being a douche, I get it. I understand it. I can see how it's douchey. But in looking back at myself, I think that's how the personal relationships work. And so I say all of that to say that with Kendrick, not only did I support him organically, but then TDE treated me respectfully. And so at that point, it's like, if I needed Kendrick to do something for me real quick, no matter how big he was, even if they couldn't do the exact thing I needed, how about we do this? Could we at least send you this? Could we do this? There was always something. They're answering the phone. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't talked to Top Dog in 2 years, and I could get Top on the phone right now. That was, I don't even know if I could get Mr. Morgan on the fucking phone, and I've known him for 20 years. Fine, I'd get Morgan on the phone, but we would just talk about sports. We wouldn't even talk about Drake.
You can get Morgan on the phone so he can say no.
Exactly. And
I could definitely get an in-person no from Mr. Morgan all the time.
Love you, Morgan. All the time. And I can count on you to be a good friend in real life and not be able to get a shit when it comes to Drake.
But I could get a fat no from Mr. Nogan.
Hey, Syfe, by the way, I think I know what part Billy June's going to ask he can put up on social.
but you know what's crazy? But also, like, the same way you're talking about, you put me on to Kendrick. And same thing hit me about Kendrick. I didn't love him at first.
But he got you.
I didn't love him at first. I listened to Good Kid, Mad City, and Section 80. And I was like, I like it. I don't love it. And then To Pimp a Butterfly came out and it hit me, but I didn't love it either. I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. It's all over the place, but there's some shit on there. What's the song on Butterfly?
I love.
Is it Mortal Thought?
Yeah, that's a dope.
Mortal Thought. Mortal Thought hits me in a way, and also
is it Mortal
one,
Thought or Mortal Man?
Well, I forget, but whatever that one is. And then there's another one. The one with something about being black, and there's a reggae artist on the hook. Assassin's
Black or the Berry.
Yeah, Black and the Berry. Those songs.
That shit's.
Those two songs made me go, oh, and I had to go back. And I had to listen to Good Kid, Mad City as a hip-hop fan, not as a DJ. Because they give you the singles. I got the singles. I'm going to play them all. They're fire. But those have been programmed to me. I had to go back and listen to the album. And then Damn came out.
And you were just like.
And I was like, oh, Kendrick's one of my favorite rappers. And the same thing, bro. My connection with Kendrick is nowhere near as deep as yours. And I saw Kendrick at Radio City Music Hall when he came out with Dave Chappelle and treated me as good as he treats you.
Right.
Like
he's a quality dude.
Oh, this is my man. And I remember, you know why Kendrick loves me? I accidentally became his man. Because I went into a Best Buy once to buy something. The Best Buy on 14th Street, Union Square. And I walk into Best Buy to buy something, and he was having an in-store. And it looked like I went to the in-store.
No, really?
Yes. I have a picture. The picture I have with Kendrick, like he still had short hair from the first album. And I went in there, and they were like, "Yo, Sife, come back here, come back here." And I was like, "I was."
I'm trying to buy headphones.
I'm trying to buy a fucking air purifier, and like, they're like, "Yo, come back here." And I go back there, and it's like all the TD, and they're like, "Yo, thanks for coming, bro. No other DJs came." And I was like, "I don't think DJs knew about this. there's no other DJs here." And I walked in there like, "Yo, Sife, you a real one, yo." I was like, "Yo, West Coast for life. You know what it
is." That's amazing. I didn't know that.
But that's
what they've always been like. TDE's just always handled their business in that way. And by the way, I think Dreamville does too. I just think Dreamville's super cool. Like I fuck with Ibrahim, but like I just think that I don't know what it is.
Is that the tall kid? Is he
tall? Tall Ethiopian kid? Yeah.
Bro, I the Rock Nation.
Oh, wait. Sorry. I said Ethiopian. I think Ibrahim's Sudanese. So I want to get that correct. I think he's Sudanese.
Wow.
I know. I'm disgusting.
Wow. You just want to start a whole fucking
thing. I'm from D.C. where there's a lot of Ethiopians. By the way, never really had Ethiopian food as an adult. I'm guessing you're not into it either.
You got to eat it with your hands.
But it's
not that. I eat a lot of food with my hands. I eat burgers and chicken. Why? My thing is slimy food. I don't like slimy food.
You know the Ethiopian bread? It's like a big, huge, thin.
It's called bread.
No, I thought you actually were going to know the word. I was like, wow, you're so much more cultured than me because I don't remember. And there are people listening like, you guys don't know? But my dad told me. That he first went out for Ethiopian food in like 1976. Injera. There we go. Am I saying it correctly? I think it's right.
Is that J. Cole's manager?
No, that's you know what, Sife? Please stop. All right, now you're making it up. So my dad in 1972 goes to have Ethiopian food for the first time, sits down at the table, takes the bread, and spreads it out on his lap, thinking it's a napkin. How good is that? Listen, it was 50 years ago. He was ahead of the time, okay?
Oh my God.
He just didn't know what to do.
What'd they say? Did he ever tell you what they said to him?
I don't know if the person was like, why are you putting it? He was like, oh, I was saving this for later.
Oh,
by the way.
Yo, this guy.
Which guy?
You know what? Forget it. Go ahead.
Well.
So J. Cole, man. Go get it.
Speaking of TDE, by the way, Billie June tells us tomorrow's Isaiah Rashad's birthday. Happy birthday.
Is he back?
Happy birthday, young Zay. Yup, he is back. So happy birthday, young Zay. Gold Link on the 17th. The Chinks anniversary is coming up this week.
Chinks hit me kind of hard.
Yeah. I didn't know him well, but I was super sad.
Chinks was a good one.
He was
for me. Like, he did a lot. He did the song for me, Banned from TV. I mean, Banned from Radio.
Oh, that was before Drewski stole the movement from you.
Yeah.
I remember it.
It was the theft.
I always wanted to know, did you guys ever have a conversation where he was like, hey, I'm going to keep going with the movement? And you were like, all right, I'm going to just do comedy?
No.
By the way, shouts to Drewski. He's got a couple songs in his album that are really dope.
Son, do you know I came up with the name Big Dog Pitbulls?
What?
I came up with the name. Well, Flex had Big Dog because he was the big dog. He had a company called Big Dog Productions or whatever. And I was like, oh, we're the Pitbulls. We're the Big Dog Pitbulls. I came up with the Federation, which is Max Glazer. Me and Max Glazer used to be in a DJ crew together called the Federation. Now it's a huge reggae DJ crew. I came up with the Movement. I came up with Nina Sky. Because it's Nicole and Natalie, so it's N-I-N-A. Man, I'd be coming up with some fucking
names, you're pretty good.
Bro.
You've never come
up. I came up with Cypher Sounds and Rosenberg.
Good stuff. By the way, yet you can't manage to make one fucking Juan Epp shirt, huh?
Oh, man, it's not. I have my part is done.
But
my part is done. I'm waiting on the other people. It's pissing me off.
Bother the person right now. Right when we're done, please. I'm doing it.
My part is done. Everything's ready to
go.
Well,
but bother the person who needs to do their part. By the way, I'm about to take it over. I'm you're fired, because I'm starting a real proper merch store for the album. I'm working with these guys who do real.
Who?
I'll tell you off the air, man. I'm trying to tell the whole world, but I'm definitely doing a real. I'm finally going to have people handle merchandise in a way that's like I can get. I don't have to do anything except say show me some ideas. Let's go. Now, granted, I think when it's all said and done, when you work with places like this, you obviously don't make that much money, but that's never really what it's about anyway. So it's a little.
Well, maybe Shaq will come in and fund this.
That would be
us.
Nice, Shaq. You know Shaq.
You know what? I'm getting depressed.
This is always where it ends. Maybe we can get a guest. Maybe someone can call in and they'll tell us they work at the bank. And you can ask them if they can get you some free things to roll your quarters up in. That's my new joke on Scythe. I can't believe it's taken me over a decade to get this joke about Scythe. If you tell him you do anything, he's going to ask if he can get just something. Just give me something.
No. I do not ask for you to give me something. I offer an exchange. I always offer an exchange.
Like, for example, Shaq, if you fund our merchandise, Saif will get you tickets to his comedy show in Houston on the 29th.
Correct. 100%.
Interesting birthday here that Billie June put in. Not talked about at all. Rob Bass
probably needs to go in our Heavy D Kid and Play episode.
Yo.
I mean, is he a one-hit wonder?
No, there's at least two.
Oh, wow. No.
What do you mean? Joy and Pain is a joint.
And Joy and Pain is not It Takes Two.
I didn't say it was It Takes Two.
Yeah, every one-hit wonder has other songs, Peter.
Yo, let's get Rob Bass on the show. Yo, man.
Somebody told me recently, somebody said recently something about, you think Rob Bass was advocating crack cocaine? Because his name is Rob Bass and the DJ was Easy Rock.
Oh my God. And guess what he says? What's his most famous line? I want to rock right now. I want to rock right now.
Yeah, you're in the middle of recording a song.
Wasn't a line about dancing. They were just in the booth getting ready to start. And he was like, I want to rock right now. And they're like, oh, that's it. Go. All right. I'm Rob Bass. I can't even get down. Yo, but happy birthday, Rob Bass. Prince B of PM Dawn, Sife. Underrated, by the way. Okay. Doesn't get enough love. And on the 21st, Biggie, Havoc, and Max B. That's a good birthday day.
Havoc and Biggie have the same birthday?
According to birthday expert Billy June.
Okay.
We're trying to, you don't have any thoughts about that, though?
Just random birthday shout-outs?
No. Birthday shout-outs. Hey, guys, listen. I got to go do Drink Champs.
Oh, you got to go do Drink Champs. Real quick, if you're a comedy fan, which a lot of WANAP people are. Oh, mind you, we did a thing last week for Patreon where we spoke to a lot of our patrons. They did like a Q&A and we talked to some people. Fun. It's fucking amazing. You got to join our Patreon and watch this thing, man. Also, I put up a throwback at noon mix. That a throwback mix that actually a fan sent
was
me.
It was from Hot 97 back in the day?
It was from Hot 97 when I filled in for Mr. C sometime, the throwback at noon. That's up on Patreon. It's awesome. I also have this thing I found that I did at Shea 45 that we were trying to do this thing called Behind the Boards.
I remember Behind the Boards.
And it was like an in-depth interview with some of our favorite producers. This guy, the same guy, I don't remember your name. I'm sorry, man. I'm never going to shut you up. Sent me, he had a MP3 of when I interviewed Pete Rock for Behind the Boards. That's going up on Patreon soon. We got a lot of fire shit, man. Comedy fans.
I was going to say, and we'll do another one. Billy June, tell us from this moment on, when we get another 25 patrons, from this moment on, we get another 25 patrons, we'll do another live on a Saturday with the patrons and just hang out. How about that?
Yeah, it was live on Zoom. We fucking roasted people.
Boom, roasted. We
fucking try to get some hookups.
Well, Sife asked for a hookup from a guy who does baggage at the airport. Sife tried to...
Mini DV tape.
He got a hook, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I wrote all of that info down for you.
Email me all that, bro.
A guy who converts mini DV tapes. Sife tried to convince a woman to turn her camera on. It was a good time. It was a really good time.
She sent us an email.
Who?
Saying it was amazing. The one woman in the Zoom.
Just send me all that. Forward all that to me.
What are you going
to
do? What are you going to do? You going to send her a weird email?
No, I just want to see. I just want to reply. Hey, listen, man. Thank you so much. I saw the return of John Mulaney the other day. He's fresh out of rehab. The first comedy show he's done since he's been in rehab was me and Will's show at City Winery.
Really?
It's a show we do every Tuesday. If you're in New York, you want to come to a show on a Tuesday, City Winery. Bro, I watched John Mulaney with his white John Mulaney version of his Richard Pryor moment when he talked about all the shit.
Wow.
Getting, back on cocaine and the intervention and what he went through in rehab. Fucking,
wow. Can you get him on one app?
No.
All right, guys. I got to go. Wish me.
Okay. Go do Drink Champs.
All right, I'm going to try not to fuck everything up on Drink Champs. And we appreciate all of you guys so very much. You know how to support the show. Rest in peace, Spencer Dat. Who dat?
Rest in peace.
We'll catch you guys next time. I'm going to have brunch.
Oh, we forgot to talk about Israel and Palestine.
You know what? Good. Next time. Hey, don't worry. The conflict will still be going on. But there was one thing I wanted to tell you that I'm going to have to tell you now. That would have made you laugh very hard. You there?
What is it?
Cypher.
Yeah, I'm here.
that when I was, you know, like everyone hates me about these subjects. It's either pro-Palestinian people who don't even know how I feel and yell at me, or the Jews who do know how I feel, so they hate me for not being pro-Israel enough. And one of those Jews wrote, talking shit to me, called me Palestinian Pete. We'll save that for next time.
No, we can't use that. I'm stopping this.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.